Romans 15, we're going to read from verse 14. Okay? Romans 15, verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written to you quite boldly in some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no way, now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and that you will assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy, by God's will, and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, this is your word. We ask that you would open our eyes to behold wonderful things in it, that you would speak to us by it, that you would help us on the way to godliness with it, that you would change us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, this morning, Berry Street Community Church, where I happen to serve as a pastor, needs your prayers. We need your prayers. Whether you believe it or not this morning, this local community church needs the prayers of Berry Street Community Church and Bushill Park Community Church and Enfield Town Community Church. We need the prayers of other local churches. Now, of course, God and his power and his wisdom and his might is beyond my understanding and could do amazing things without our prayers. Of course he can, I believe that. But yet, the way that he has ordered things is that when we pray for one another, he loves to act and he loves to do amazing things. So will you pray for us? I'm serious. Will you pray for the local church where I'm the pastor? Not least because they've got a pretty average pastor. Because we're going to find it hard to reach that area, that community, with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you pray for us. That's how serious it is. And that's something like the plea that Paul gives to that church in Rome in chapter 15, verse 30. Look what he says. We've heard it read already. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Paul, this great man of faith, who planted churches in all sorts of hostile environments, who wrote books of the New Testament, who loads of people came to faith by his preaching about this crucified Jesus and risen forever Lord. This Paul says to that local church in Rome, I'm not sure how the next part of the journey is going to go. I might end up dead. I don't know how I'm going to be received. I'd quite like to go to another area and tell people about Jesus. Will you please pray for me? Prayer is one of the main ways that we join with one another, that we partner with one another, wherever we might live. It's one of the main ways that we join together to reach an area. It wouldn't be right if everyone here suddenly sold up in Edmonton, moved up to Berry Street. Hey, I would love to see you. But there's lots of people down here to tell about the Lord Jesus. There's lots of people up at Berry Street. And you know, I don't need those guys to move down here, as much as I know you would appreciate it. So if you can't all move up there and we all can't move down here, what can we do? Pray. Pray. I know that it might seem weak and foolish. But many times when I've prayed, do you know what? It's felt like nothing is happening. You know, you go to the prayer meeting and you think, wow, Spurs are playing on Tuesday night in the Champions League. Or maybe it's Liverpool. When you pray for us, and we pray for you, through the risen forever Lord Jesus Christ, we get to call on the ruler of the universe with all that power and wisdom and might. And we get to cry out for each other, Lord, at Silver Street Community Church, would you save people? And I hope on Tuesday night you would beg on our behalf, our Heavenly Father, and say, Lord, at Berry Street, in that area, would you save people? We need your prayers. So this morning, like Paul asks, will you join in the struggle by praying to God for us? Will you join? Will you partner with us and our other local churches we've been praying for? Would you join in the struggle we have of telling people about Jesus by praying? Now look again at verse 30, okay? Look how it starts. I urge you, brothers and sisters, join in our struggle. Why? It's needed. It's needed. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Now, if you're new to the book of Romans this morning, I know we've jumped in towards the end of a letter. What's going on here? Well, Paul writes this letter to a church in Rome, a church that we don't think he's actually been to yet. He didn't plant this church. But we do know what he's been doing. Look at verse 19, chapter 15. Okay? By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. From Jerusalem all the way to the country that we would call Croatia. He's been wandering around telling as many people as he can about the Lord Jesus. Churches have been planted. People have come to faith. All through that wonderful message of a man dying on a cross and 3 days later rising again. That's what he's been doing. Verse 23. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through, and that you will assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Okay, he's been walking around planting churches. He wants to go to Spain. As far as he knows, no one's been there telling people about Jesus. Brand new ground. He's going to go there and he's maybe going to pop in at Rome if all things go well and say hi. They're going to get a chill out, watch some Champions League, you know, have a grow weekend, whatever it is that they did for fun. But they're going to encourage one another. What's he about to do now? Verse 25. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. The Christians in Jerusalem were going through a pretty rough time at this point. There was a lot of poverty about. Perhaps there was a famine going on. So as Paul had been walking around Greece, setting up churches, visiting churches where he'd planted, what he did was he said, you know, if anyone has any spare cash, it would be really good for you to give it. And I'm going to go back to Jerusalem and we're going to help each other out. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what he's about to do. And he urges them to pray. He says, here's how you can join in. We can partner up together. I urge you, brothers and sisters, pray. Pray. What does he want them to pray for? Verse 31. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea. You know what, folks in Rome? I'd really like to go to Spain and tell people about Jesus and see people to come to faith. But I've got to go back to Jerusalem first. It would be really handy if the people in Jerusalem didn't kill me. That's not a bad prayer, is it? So that's what he urges them to pray. Then what does he say? Well, the next bit of verse 31. And that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there. Now you would think, if you turned up at a local church and said, hey, I've got a bunch of money I want to give people, that he'd be well received. You know, if you feel that in your heart this morning, come to Berry Street. I'm only kidding. Why wouldn't it be well received? Well, a rumour had been doing the rounds. You read this in Acts 21 this afternoon if you want. A rumour had been doing the rounds that because Paul had been hanging out for so long with people who weren't from a Jewish background, that actually in some way Paul was now anti-Jewish. And perhaps for the Christians back in Jerusalem, for too long the name Paul and the word riot had been coming up in the local newspapers. And so people were saying, it's good to see you, Paul, but hey, we don't want no trouble. And Paul says, pray about that. Pray that I would be favorably received by the Lord's people. And if those things are the Lord's will, verse 32, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. Great things to pray for. Just for a moment, can I direct your attention to that word urge? Urge. I urge you, brothers and sisters. I think in the older translations, a word called beseech was used. I beseech you, brethren. That's a great word, beseech, isn't it? I would love to bring that back. I mean, that's the idea here. And another word that could be used, beg. I beg you, brothers and sisters, to pray for me. Nothing dignified about begging. See those signs, don't you? I brought my own. It says, hungry and homeless. Please give. You know, I don't buy that the stories that you hear in the newspapers, you know, about all these beggars who can earn 50 grand a year. Or there's some criminal mastermind behind it all, you know, raking it in while these poor folks are taken advantage of. Begging's pretty desperate. It reeks of desperation. Sorry, that's a Scottish word. It smells of desperation. Need. You've got to help or I'm going to starve. When Paul writes to the church in Rome and says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to pray. He says, I'm begging you to pray. Think of someone starving at the side of the road. That's how urgently Paul wants these people to pray. He's not saying I'm hungry and homeless. Can you spare any change? He's saying, will you pray? I need you to pray to God for me. I need you to join in this. I don't know how things are going to go, but will you call on God with me? When you get prayer points that come in from the other churches, from Berry Street, Enfield Town, Bushell Park, Causeway, don't think, oh, they've got an event on this weekend. Isn't that nice? Shouldn't we pray? When those prayer points come in, think of it as a beggar at the side of the road, desperate for food. Think of it as us asking you to say, brothers and sisters, we don't know how this is going to go out, but I beg you, will you pray to God for us? Luke is saying something similar at one of the other churches this morning. That's how serious this is, folks. We are gospel partners. I'm not sure how the next part of the journey is going to go. I need you to pray. It made me think this week. Never mind anyone else's area. Never mind anyone else's prayers. Is that how serious we see prayer for our own area? When you guys pray for Edmonton, is that with the seriousness, that begging upon God? That he would be at work here. And I know we can pray at any time on our own. But I think it means that the prayer meeting is really such a serious meeting in the life of this local church. I'm sure that, you know, when Patrick or Luke or whoever announces it, you think, oh, they're going to be banging on about the prayer meeting again. I know, I do that at Berry Street. But it's that serious. Beg for this local church. Beg for Berry Street and all the others. An old friend of mine is in the habit of saying, if there's a command in the Bible or a warning to do something and it seems obvious, then there's a big danger that we won't do it. I wonder if that's the case with this. Of course we should pray for one another. Of course, that's what Christians do. But will you come and join with this local church to beg on our behalf? Come and beg for me. I need it. I promise we'll do that for you. I promise you. Join in the struggle. It's needed. Second thing, it's what family do. Okay? Look again at verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters. See that? Brothers and sisters. By our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. Paul urges his Christian brothers and sisters to pray. Hey, we're family. In whose name does he urge them to pray? By our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the love of the Spirit. I was thinking this week about some of our family traditions. You know, the things that are unique to the Affleck family. That's my surname. Growing up, my grandparents, until my grandfather was about 90, him and my grandma, they didn't have a television. So when you had to, some people are cheering, some people are like, what? Okay, no, I get that. But here's a strange thing. When you used to go to visit my grandparents, you know, we had to talk to each other. And this was in a stage before mobile phones. And my brother and I've got an older brother, we would go and stay with him for a week with no telly. Now, it took a little bit of getting used to, but I can honestly say those were some of the best weeks of my childhood. I'll tell you another tradition. I heard this from a friend of mine. This is not mine, okay? My friend chooses to go on holiday where they haven't been before so they can visit museums that they haven't seen. Now, I'm glad I'm not part of that family. Okay? Another friend of mine, when it's Christmas time, you know, at like our house, it's like a bomb site. Everyone's rushing downstairs, wrapping paper everywhere. Oh, where's the presents, Daddy? Okay. Now, my friend, what they do, they go downstairs, they sit on the stairs, they sing a Christmas carol, they pray and give thanks to the Lord Jesus, and then they go and very gently open the presents. Isn't that such a holy family? Isn't it? Different families do different things in different ways. And I'm sure in your family there's weird stuff that goes on as well. The Bible teaches us that if we've trusted the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we've joined a new family. And actually, if you've never met me before, but yet you're a Christian, we have closer bonds than blood relatives. We're brothers and sisters. And in this family, the Lord Jesus shows us how to live, and he shows us how to love. Before we were believers in the Lord Jesus, our natural instincts were to put ourselves first. Self-centeredness, selfishness, self-preservation. But as we trust the Lord Jesus, he transforms how we think. He does. We have the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of us. And one of the fruits of that is that we become much more concerned for other people. It's true, we start to be concerned far more about others than we do ourselves. Of course, there's lots to pray for in Edmonton. But our God has a real heart for the world. Especially for the lost folks who live in our world, across our world. And he wants us just to lift our heads above the horizon and see that there's lots more to pray for than just Edmonton. Now, I'm sure you guys are great at doing that. We need to be a little bit better at Berry Street. Because just for a moment, think about what God's like. When he looked down upon our world, he was moved to action for our world. He didn't say, well, look at the terrible state those people are in, and then went, well, I'll just leave them to it. What happened? He sent the Lord Jesus, his best, into our world. He loved us when we had done nothing but bring shame to him, when we'd rejected him, when we even claimed that he didn't exist. He loved us and sent the Lord Jesus into a world like that. What the Bible says, he sent the Lord Jesus when we were dead in our sins, when I deserved nothing but punishment and hell. He sent the Lord Jesus to die on a cross, rise again. Why? So that people in every part of our world, as they trust the Lord Jesus by faith, would be completely saved and forgiven and washed clean of all their sins in every part of our world. Our prayers should reflect that we are part of something that is something much bigger than just our wee corner, our wee square mile of where we live. Because that's what God is like. See, one of the things that happened when Jesus died was that we were given access to God. Patrick, you know, he may well have read my sermon notes before I came in, but he said that as we sang. Some of you might know this story, but when the Lord Jesus died, this huge great curtain in the temple in Jerusalem, it split from top to bottom. Why are we told that? Because through the Lord Jesus, we now have access into God's presence. It means that when we pray for one another, our prayers don't just bounce off the ceiling. An old preacher put it like this: prayer pulls the rope down below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. He who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might. Do you get the image there? When we pray for one another, we're yanking on the rope. You know, I've got a little 3-year-old son. Honestly, one of the most annoying people I've ever met in my life, okay? Now, let me tell you, if you give him a bell to ring, What is he going to do with it? He's just going to ring it and ring it and ring it and ring it until you're like, oh, come on! Now, praise God, he's not like me. My heavenly Father is a far better father than I am. Because when I pull on the rope and say, God, I need your help, and the bell rings, he loves to answer. He never gets tired. He never gets fed up. He never says, well, you put that rope down. What are we doing, this family? What is the family resemblance? What marks us out as belonging to the Lord Jesus? Well, certainly one thing must be that we pull on the rope for one another. not doing it, can't be bothered, letting other things crowd this out. That doesn't sound like our family. Join with us in the struggle, why it's needed. It's what family do. Last of all, it's partnership. It really is. It's partnership. One more time, verse 30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. As a small boy, I once watched as 8 big lads moved a piano, an upright piano, old school, not a little digital thing, a proper upright piano, from the 3rd floor of a block of flats down to the bottom, and then put it in a van so that it could be moved. These were big, strong lads. Big, tough Glaswegian men. And yet, every step with that piano, you know, it took real physical effort. Everyone had to work as a team, or the piano would go crashing down the stairs. By the time it got to the bottom, everyone was bathed in sweat. Everyone. Puffing and wheezing and blowing. They probably went off to the chip shop after that. Who knows? But you get the idea. Sweat was pouring out of everyone. I don't know if you watch rugby. You see the men, the women. And there's something called the scrum. And they're all pushing together. And you know, their ears get absolutely mangled. In the ancient world, warships were known as galleys. Okay? Galleys. And they were manned by tons of slaves who were rowing with oars. Old school. The only way to stay alive was that everyone worked as a team, rowing together. You get the idea? When Paul says, join me in my struggle by praying to God for me, he's saying, this is how we help carry each other's piano. This is how we row together. This is how we join in the scrum with one another. We may not be able to move here and physically talk to other people in Edmonton. But as I pray, I'm saying, hey, I'll take this corner of the piano. Hey, I'll push at the back of the scrum. Hey, I'll grab an oar and start rowing. It's how we at Berry Street can help you guys reach this area. It's how you guys can help us reach folks at Berry Street. By praying with us and for us. 2 things and then I'm done. If you haven't got it by now, will you join us in our struggle? As a local church? Will you do that? Will you come to the prayer meeting? You know, who cares? Liverpool, Barcelona, Tottenham, whoever it is. Come and pray for us. I beg you, brothers and sisters. And I make a promise today that we will pray for you. We'll take an edge of the piano and help lift. We need you to do that for us. 2nd thing is this. If you're here today and you don't consider yourself a believer in the Lord Jesus, thanks for coming. Most of what I've said might have gone right over your head because I've largely been speaking to the church family. But the Lord Jesus is a command for you today, and that's come and join in the struggle as well. And the way that you do that is first of all, by asking him to forgive your sins, by calling out for his mercy, by realizing that you need him to be your Lord and your Savior, that he died on the cross and rose again to forgive your sins. And as you call out for his mercy, he wants you to start helping to carry the piano with us as well. Will you do that today? Hey, let's pray, shall we?